Well, welcome once again, fellow biblical explorers. We've been looking at the second of Paul's prayers in the book of Ephesians, the prayer that is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. In our last study together, we found out that Paul wanted us to live in four dimensions in verse 18. He says, "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height." And in this study, we're going to be looking at plenitude, or the fullness, and that's found in verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, all the fullness of the riches of His grace." We said last week that nature dislikes a vacuum, and that's why water and air will automatically flow into an empty space. God's divine nature also dislikes a vacuum, and that's why Paul wants us to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants us to experience His fullness. What is the means of the fullness? Well, just look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So here we can see that we can experience the fullness of God by being filled with His Spirit. What is the measure of our fullness? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." It's really sad when we see Christians measuring themselves by the wrong measuring stick. They measure themselves by the weakest Christian that they know, and then they boast of how much better they are, how much more spiritual they are. But Paul tells us that the measure is Christ, and that we cannot boast in anything. In one sense, we are already made full in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Positionally, we are full when we stand in Christ, but practically, we only enjoy the grace that we can apprehend by faith. The resources are all there for us, fellow biblical explorers. All we have to do is apprehend them. Paul wants us here to comprehend with all the saints. Paul asks that they might be able to understand together in community every dimension of the love of Jesus. Paul wanted them to know it by experience, not just in words. Spurgeon says, "In this measurement may you and I be skilled. If we knew nothing of mathematics, may we be well-tutored scholars in this spiritual geometry and be able to comprehend the breadths and lengths of Jesus' precious love." Spurgeon goes on to say, "Alas, to many great religious people, the love of Jesus is not a solid, substantial thing at all. It is a beautiful fiction, a sentimental belief, a formal theory, but to Paul it was real, substantial, and it was a measurable fact. He had considered it in this way, and that way, and the other way, and it was evidently real to him, whatever it might be to others." David Guzuk says, "The love of Jesus has width. You can see how wide a river is by noticing how much it covers over. God's river of love is so wide that it covers over my sin, and it covers over every circumstance of my life, so that all things work together for good. When I doubt His forgiveness or His providence, I am narrowing the mighty river of God's love. His love is as wide as the world, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." The love of Jesus has length. When considering the length of God's love, ask yourself, when did the love of God start towards me? How long will it continue? These truths measure the length of God's love. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. God knew me and he knew you, fellow biblical explorer, when you were being knit together in your mother's womb. He loved you. The love of Jesus has depth. Philippians 2 verses 7 and 8 tell us how deep the love of Jesus goes, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of a man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. You can't go lower than the death of the cross. That's how deep the love of Jesus is for you and for me, for us. The love of Jesus has height. To see the height of God's love, ask yourself, how high does it lift me? It lifts me to the heavenly places where I'm seated with Christ. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. So can we really comprehend the width, length, depth, and height of God's love? To come to any understanding of the dimensions of God's love, we must come to the cross. Gazook says the cross pointed in four ways, essentially in every direction, because God's love is wide enough to include every person. God's love is long enough to last through all eternity. God's love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner. God's love is high enough to take us, you and me, to heaven. Gazook says, to know the love of Christ, Paul wrote of something that you and I can know. This isn't speculation, guesswork, emotions, or feelings. This is something to know. Spurgeon says, one of these philosophers kindly says that religion is a matter of belief, not knowledge. This is clean in opposition to all the teachings of Scripture. Paul asked God to fill these Christians with all the fullness of God. The word unto is a better translation than the word with. Paul wanted Christians to experience life in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God, and to be filled to their capacity with Jesus, even as God is filled to his own capacity with his own character and attributes. Clark says, among all the great sayings in this prayer, this is the greatest. To be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is still greater, but to be filled with all the fullness of God utterly bewilders the sense and confounds the understanding. Paul says in verse 19 of the third chapter of Ephesians, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you want to know the unknowable? Do you want to be filled so full that it confounds all understanding? Matthew Henry says, if it passes knowledge, then how can we know it? We must pray and endeavor to know something and should still covet and strive to know more and more of it, though after the best endeavors, none can fully comprehend it. In its full extent, it surpasses all knowledge. Though the love of Christ may be better perceived and known by Christians than it generally is, yet it cannot be fully understood on this side of heaven. Matthew Henry goes on to say, Paul prays that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a very high expression. We should not dare to use it if we did not find it in the Scriptures. It is like those other expressions of being partakers of a divine nature and of being perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. We are not to understand it of his fullness as God in himself, but of his fullness as a God in covenant with us, as a God to his people, such a fullness as God is ready to bestow, who is willing to fill them to all the utmost of their capacity, and that with all those gifts and graces which he sees that they need. Those who receive grace for grace from Christ's fullness may be said to be filled with the fullness of God, according to their capacity, all which is in order to their arriving at the highest degree of the knowledge and enjoyment of God, and in entire conformity to him. And finally, my fellow biblical explorers, we come to Paul's doxology. This is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. After finishing such a great prayer, it is fitting that the Apostle Paul should end on such a note like this. In this prayer, Paul has contemplated a marvelous spiritual experience. Paul prays in a Trinitarian way. He places emphasis on the Trinity in this benediction. Paul prays to God the Father concerning the indwelling power of God the Spirit, made available through God the Son. Let's read the words of this beautiful benediction together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, let's look at this benediction in outline form. Now unto him that is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceeding abundantly above all. Wow! Paul wanted to use every word he knew to describe the vastness of the power of God as found in Jesus Christ. Paul has shared with us that this power is available to us right now. This power is above all that we can ask or think. Wow, just think of that power. Just think of the power that is available to us right now. In other words, the power of Christ is like the love of Christ, beyond our understanding and measurement. It's just this kind of power that we need if we are going to walk and to go to war in victory. The word power is dunamis, which we saw back in chapter 3, verse 7, and that's where we get our word dynamite. Remember that? And that the word working is energia, which is found in chapter 1, verse 11, and verse 19, and in chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 3, verse 7, and chapter 4, verse 16, energy. Some power is dormant like the power that is found in a battery. The power that is found in the Lord is effectual. It is at work in us, the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Some Christians have a power shortage. They have cut themselves off from the source of their power by unconfessed sin, careless living, worldliness in action or attitude. The Christian can be robbed of power. A Christian robbed of power cannot be used of God. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Are you plugged into that source of power? That's the big question. The big question? Why does God do all of this? Why does he share his power with us? Is it so we can build great big churches and then people will praise us and our efforts so that we can boast of our own achievements? No, no, no. To him be glory in the church. The Spirit of God was given to glorify the Son of God, and the church on earth is here to glorify the Son of God. So says John chapter 16, verse 14. The power of the Spirit is not a luxury. It is a necessity. A necessity for walking the Christian pathway and living the Christian life. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, and all we have to do is ask. My fellow biblical explorers, if you are experiencing a power shortage in your own walk, get your hands on the wealth that is yours through Christ. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, Ye have not because you ask not. My friends, get your hands on the riches of his grace.